Grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus the Christ. Amen. So if you have never heard of Theophilus, if you're not even sure how to pronounce his name, all right, say it with me. Theophilus. Theophilus. They're so good. If you have absolutely no idea who in the world he is, or even why I'm talking about him, do not feel bad. This is not your fault. In fact, it's not even surprising. The fact of the matter is that these opening verses of Luke's gospel may actually have never been read or preached on in this church, or pretty much any other in our land. When congregations like ours jump into the first chapters of Luke's gospel, you see, we're eager to get to the stories we know, the stories of the birth of John the Baptist and the visit of the angel Gabriel to Mary and Mary's song while she's visiting her cousin Elizabeth and, of course, the birth of Jesus and all the rest. We're eager, that is, to get to the good stuff. And Luke's got plenty of good stuff. In addition to sharing many of the same stories that Matthew and Mark do, Luke also tells us some things, some stories that no one else shares. Like the story of the boy Jesus in the temple, the only story of Jesus' childhood in the Bible, and the parable of the Good Samaritan, so famous that now laws are named after it, and the parable of the prodigal son, a story Ralph Waldo Emerson once called the best story in the Bible or anywhere else. So there is a lot of good stuff in Luke. And we'll have a chance to explore this amazing story together throughout the coming year in Sunday worship, Sunday school, Living the Message Bible studies, our Advent devotions, and other special classes and events. But just for now, notice that before telling all these great stories, in fact, before telling any of them, Luke offers this short 4-verse dedication to this guy named Theophilus. All right, practice makes perfect once again. Theophilus. Very good. In fact, Luke refers to him as most excellent Theophilus, so maybe they were really good friends. Or maybe a little more likely, actually, Theophilus was Luke's patron or sponsor. Artists in the ancient world, you see, kind of like artists today, rarely made a lot of money. So Theophilus may have been the person who was supporting Luke while he was writing his gospel, and now that it's done, Luke offers this dedication. Now, Luke's the only one to do this too, to write this kind of dedication, and by doing it, he offers Theophilus and everyone who's read his gospel ever since, including all of us, an introduction into just what he's up to. And there are a couple of things in these verses I find really interesting. First, Luke says that many people have undertaken to write an account of Jesus' life. Well, we know three of them, Matthew, Mark, and John, but apparently lots of people were collecting the stories about Jesus and trying to make sense of them, including Luke. Second, and even more interesting, Luke admits that he is relying on accounts that were handed on by other people who were eyewitnesses, which means that Luke himself was not an eyewitness. He wasn't there. He didn't see the things that he's writing about. I'm not sure most of us realize that. In fact, I think that most of us think of the evangelists, that's the name we give to the people who wrote our gospels, we think of evangelists kind of like the reporters on CARE 11 news team. You know, this is Luke, I'm at the stable in Bethlehem, animals are milling about, shepherds are coming in from watching their flocks by night, back at 10 o'clock. But not so. At least not with Luke. He relies on the testimony of others, kind of like, when you think about it, you and me. Third, Luke says he's writing an orderly account, not just a story or just the facts, not a newspaper article or term paper for a history class, but an orderly account. In fact, he uses that term twice. Many people have written an orderly account, and now he's going to write an orderly account. But why? Especially when there are other accounts already out there. Well, I think Luke is trying to take some of the stories about Jesus he's heard and put them together in a way that makes sense for his people and for his time. That means he's not just copying down various stories about Jesus, but arranging them, ordering them, even interpreting them so that they were meaningful to the people who read them. The four Gospels, as we've seen before and will continue to discover, share a lot of the same stories and details, but each one is also distinct, also offers some different details and stories. And each time you notice something different, it's a clue to how that particular writer, that evangelist, was trying to interpret and make sense of Jesus' life in light of the questions and experiences and struggles that they and their community had. They weren't nearly as interested, that is, in figuring out exactly what happened, but instead cared about why what happened still mattered. Which means that Luke wrote for a reason, that he's making intentional choices, arranging the stories of Jesus he's heard in a particular order, because he wants his work, his gospel, not just to say something, but actually to do something, to make a difference, to have an impact on the lives of the people who would read it. And that's the final thing that I think is important about his dedication. Because at the very end of this little introduction, Luke says, "I too decided to write an orderly account for you, most excellent Theophilus, so that you may know the truth concerning the things about which you've been instructed." Apparently, this won't be the first time Theophilus has heard many of these stories. He's been learning them, it turns out, for a while, but it might be that he has a hard time believing them, a hard time trusting that they're true, not just true in general, but true also for him, which probably shouldn't surprise us. I mean that God would use an ordinary girl like Mary to enact God's plan for salvation, that the first witnesses to the birth of the Messiah would be common, even dirty shepherds rather than priests or rulers, that the dominant image of God in Luke's story is of a parent who is so heartbroken over the loss of a child that he'd do anything, absolutely anything, to bring that child home, that across the pages of Luke's gospel, Jesus' consistent response to people, some who listened to him, some who argued with him, some who are sick and in need, others who are poor and hurting, even those who crucify him, that Jesus' consistent response to the people he meets is compassion, mercy, forgiveness, and love. It's a story, when you stop to think about it, that can be kind of hard to believe. And Luke seems to write because he wants Theophilus to believe that this good news is for him too. So who in the world is Theophilus? Truth be told, we may never know for sure. Some think, as I mentioned, that he was a wealthy patron of the arts who helped Luke finish his gospel. Others think that he might have been a priest, even at one point the high priest, who was now a follower of Jesus. Some think he was an important Roman official, which is why he's addressed as most excellent, while others wonder if he might have been the lawyer who represented the Apostle Paul when he was on trial in Rome. And don't worry, we'll get to that story eventually. And then there are a whole lot of people who have suggested that maybe Theophilus wasn't just a single person, but rather is the name given to a larger community, maybe Luke's community of early Christian believers. Theophilus, you see, is a Greek name that means friend of God, or most literally, lover of God. So that name might designate an early Christian congregation, Friends of God Lutheran Church. Who knows? For what it's worth, though, I have my own little theory. One, I should tell you, has been endorsed by absolutely no one in the academic world, but I still like it. It's just this. Yes, Theophilus can be translated lover of God, but it can also be translated as beloved of God. That is, those people whom God loves. If this is the case, then maybe Theophilus is the name Luke gives to anyone and everyone who reads his gospel. Anyone who struggles to believe that God loves them, cares for them, wants the best for them. Anyone who week in and week out wonders if they're worthy of love and care, if their life has meaning and purpose. That's who this gospel is for. Which means that, well, it means that Theophilus is you. And that Luke wrote all these stories about Jesus' birth and baptism, about his teaching and preaching, about his acts of mercy and compassion, about his death and resurrection. Luke wrote all these stories for you, so that you, most excellent people of Mount Olivet Church, you who are beloved of God, might know the truth and be confident of the gospel in which you've been instructed. Amen.